Well, I want to thank all of our listeners that are logging on tonight. I want to thank all those that are here tonight. We are at our round square table discussion. And I'm here with the pastors, Pastor Sam, Pastor Kurt, and Pastor Tim. I'm Jim, and there, and we also have John Stanchek with us tonight. Privilege to have him here with us. Yep. And we're going to begin to just kind of follow up on some of the things that we've been feeling that God is leading us into, and elaborating more and more of what we really need to be speaking for 2018. And I believe God is really wanting us to speak more about the supernatural and try to really understand the supernatural and bring the supernatural into our life. And that requires repentance. In the supernatural, repentance means changing the way you're thinking. The carnal way of repentance is saying you're sorry. God doesn't want to hear sorry. He wants to hear changing the way you're thinking.
Well, sorry never leads to anything.
Sorry, not unless...
There's no change in sorry.
Yep, unless you realize what's going on and you change the way you're thinking, and then you can move on.
Right.
And, you know, we want to begin to get people to understand life in the supernatural and having to know the mind of God, because we're looking to bring a tabernacle into us to where God can dwell. And in order to have a place prepared for God to dwell, we need our minds changed so that we can see in the supernatural, because God is a spirit, and we need to have the mind of the spirit to understand what he's looking for and how we should conduct ourselves and how we should prepare our hearts for the dwelling place. And one of the things that came up on our last Sunday message was Job and the life of Job, but the whole concept was the chastising and the troubles and the persecutions and the hardships that life brings us. And everybody has circumstances. I mean, what kind of circumstances did you come across just this week, you know? And they tend to really put a hardship or a burden on us. And if we don't have the mind of God, if we don't understand his ways, then we take it in a panic situation. As the sky is falling. And next thing you know, our hearts are very troubled, and it's shaky. And God doesn't dwell in the shaky land, you know. He doesn't dwell in that shaky place. And to have the mind to understand the supernatural, to understand that God turns all things around for the good, and that we have to really be able to have a stable heart. And I mentioned to one of my girls earlier this week, she asked about entering into God's will. How do you know if you're on the right path of life and all that other good questions that most people should really want to know. You know, they're in this world and they are tossed all around, and they don't know what they're supposed to be doing, or, you know, or what their career is or whatever, and they're kind of just finding themselves. And, you know, the book has been written for each and every one of us. Our lives have been already played out, and really God just desires us to really enter into his rest and to be able to just let the Spirit of God move us in his timing, and let him open up the doors. And when those doors open up, walk through the opportunity. And when troubles and circumstances come, know that that's God's way of shaping us. That's life. If we don't have, you know, circumstances come against us, how are we going to produce wisdom? How are we going to learn?
How are you going to ever apply faith in your life? How are you going to use faith and apply it? See if you're tested.
Yeah. You know, we said something about all you got to do is believe, right? And that's one of the most important, I want to say, formulas of entering into the supernatural. You got to believe. You got to know that there is hope. You got to know that there's God's desire for all of us, because he loves all of us. Even when we didn't know him, he loves us and cares for us. He hears our hearts crying out to him all the time, because he goes around to and fro looking for that broken, contrite heart. So, you know, God's ear is always out there listening for that broken, contrite heart. And when we are broken and we're crying out to him, he makes a way where there is no way. And he just answers our prayers, and just he knows what's best for us as we walk this journey or this road. And I look at the outcome is our life has been created only to know who he is. Really, if you think about it.
Absolutely.
Because if you take the life of Job, which we were talking about last week, Job was considered a righteous kind of guy. You know, someone who was doing the right thing. And God used Satan or the devil. And he even said, well, have you considered my servant Job? So he threw some stuff on Job.
Preparing a test. Knowing he had a test coming, he set it up. He set it up with the devil. He was like, you.
Well, I don't even want to call it a test. You know what I want to call it? A greater knowledge of who God is. Yep, an awakening of who God is. And I think, personally, we all go through hardship only to know God the more. I mean, if you look at life and the trials of life and how things are laid out, our eyes are always looking up, and we see how God pulls us through things, how God blesses us and answers our prayers. And those that don't even know God, I'm sure circumstances in their life say, this was supernatural. Only God could have done this. Wow, there must be a God. So me personally, I believe that our trials and our circumstances throughout our journey is only to know God and to know him the more.
I agree. And it's also there to bring you to a humility. I mean, what's the opposite of humility is pride. Thinking you know everything, thinking that you can accomplish everything. But when you have the pressures of life that are pushing down on you every day, it brings you to a humility to where he wants you to cry out for him and to realize that you can't do anything outside of yourself. It's all God. Everything, whether it's a blessing, whether it's you go and you hit a wall, it's God. Nothing else. You know, to him, through him, from him is all things.
Yeah.
So no matter what you're going through circumstance-wise, don't put blame on yourself.
Mm.
Just know that God's hand's on you.
Don't blame anybody or anything.
You can't.
It's just him molding you and making you into a different character. That's all it is.
Right, and he's showing you his will.
Well, and I'm going to go back to what he said 2 weeks ago in his message, how he ended it. He ended the message saying this: God wants you to know who you are in him.
Yep. Right.
You have to know who you are. You go through these trials and you start building a foundation for yourself to see who you are.
Right.
To know who you are. You see me, you see the Father. That's the foundation you're just trying to build so that we know who we are too.
Right.
That's what you said in your message, which was vital. I mean, it hit pretty hard.
Isn't there a hook where God doesn't give you any more than you can handle?
And that's something that's good that you can hold on to. Because no matter how hard it gets,
you can handle it.
You can handle it.
Because he gave it to you.
You can handle it. No matter how hard it gets, you can handle it, because God's promise is he'll never give you more than you can handle. Now, this is what I want to bring up. We have choices to make. You see? Me personally, I feel that we can make choices in our lives to only better our circumstances. so that we don't have to continue to stay in suffering. You know how many people that I see suffering?
Everybody you see suffering.
And they can change their circumstance.
If they change the way they're thinking. They're suffering because they're thinking.
Yes, their thinking says that they have to be there or they have to
it. Their thinking is being dictated by the soul. The soul is their thinking, and it makes them think that he's them. And he puts those lies in them and condemns them and fear, puts fear in them and worry and anxiety. And that's his whole little puppetry. The soul is just controlling everybody. And
but it keeps individuals believing that they have to stay in their circumstances.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah, yeah.
I talked to an individual today, and he did the same exact thing you were talking about. Now, he's in the same field I am, and he said, Kurt, every time I try to go back there, it's hitting a wall.
Yep.
He said, now I'm going over to the city and I'm getting my contractor's license. And he said, now I have peace. Mm-hmm. He said, because all this stuff in my head before said I had to do this and I had to do that.
Yep.
He said, but I kept hitting a wall. So what you're saying is, all right, you keep hitting that wall. Now, sometimes it's God's timing. You may be jumping the gun. But if it keeps on repetition and you keep hitting the wall, God's got another path for you.
I think when we wait on God and just kind of take the persecution, take the suffering, and just continue to cry out, I think God enables you with power to make a determination.
And I think that's what happened to this individual.
And he was put into a determination.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something about it now.
Yeah. Now he said, forget the other stuff because it's not working. And all it's doing is giving me a headache is basically it.
Yep.
And now he's moving forward into a different area, and he has peace, and he's excited about it. There's a hope there.
Yep.
And he's doing it with his son, you know? So it's good.
Isn't that part of being sick and tired of being sick and tired?
Yeah. It's when you reach a point.
It's when your heart...
It is to a degree, but this guy's been doing this certain job for 20 to 30 years.
Yeah, but even if we weren't talking about this particular situation. So you kind of alluded to people just living in, they still have to live in this suffering. And, you know, one day they wake up and say, I'm tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's the same concept, but, you know, it's just to relate to other things that people, you know, they live in this suffering. You know, you could be in a bad marriage. And, like, one day you wake up and say, you know, I've had enough. God doesn't put me on this earth for this.
Right.
I'm just giving an example.
No, you're
anything.
Right.
Well, it's like the prodigal son. The prodigal son, you know, when he went and started eating with the pigs, and he woke up and was like, "What the hell am I doing here? Why am I eating with the pigs? And I could be living somewhere else in a better place."
You know,
I think that's where your heart starts to change when you start hitting that wall constantly, and you're like, "Well, something else."
We're talking about the supernatural.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that God is in the midst of our sufferings.
Yeah.
Because when we're crying out, because believe it or not, we have a subconscious deep inside of us that is actually crying out through those desperate times of eating with the pigs, you know, and eventually you're like, you know what the heck am I doing? And like Pastor Sam said earlier, the soul has bounded our minds and it led us to believe that we have to suffer in it. But then God comes and delivers us and saves us with a wisdom of, what am I doing?
Right. Because most of the time when they're in the beginning, they're thinking the soul led the prodigal son out because he felt, exactly right. Yeah. The soul led the prodigal son out because he had feelings that he deserved more. He deserved better. When you feel like you deserve and you feel like you're not,
right.
That's exactly right. That's what led him out. His own heart led him out of that blessing.
Right.
And when he came to himself, you're right, he repented and he came right back. And what did God do? He said, God saw him when he repented. He started walking home. He said, God, his master saw him afar away, and he ran to him. He ran to that son and put a ring back on his finger and a robe on his back, and that was it.
Yeah. Basically, talk about changing the way you're thinking.
Exactly. That's the goal. There's no sign given in the last days other than Jonah the prophet, which is changing the way you think. Repent. There's no other sign. There won't be anything else.
Well, I agree with the repentant thing because I. Gives us the power to change the way we're thinking. But I also believe that there's a grace that comes supernaturally when our hearts are breaking and we're crying. Have you ever cried out? to a circumstance?
Yes.
And
yes.
then found yourself moving?
I've cried out.
On that circumstance?
I've cried to a circumstance because I was thinking wrong. I didn't know I was thinking wrong.
But exactly
I, but when
right.
I cried out, I was able to see, and
grace.
I repented.
That's right. You were able to see it. Grace came over and empowered you.
Grace is being able to see.
You know when you cry out, when the key said, when you're sick and tired. You don't just cry. You cry out when you had enough.
Not that you're sick and tired, but yeah, you're sick and tired of fighting and knowing you have no more control over the situation.
Exactly right. And that sick and tired of being sick and tired releases a power in the heavenlies to send grace down over to us to open our eyes, which delivers us from that darkness that was attacking us that wasn't allowing us to repent.
Yeah, and then you repent and you change the way you think and you're transformed.
Yep.
The whole goal is to be transformed. If we're not changing the way we think, we're not being transformed all the time. There are thought processes in our mind that have to be changed every day. We think it was just one big thing. No. There's little things, and
I agree with what you're saying, but I want to expand and get our listeners to begin to see not only beyond our power of repentance, because we're emphasizing, like, you have to repent. You have to repent. You have to repent.
We're not emphasizing that. God gives you the repentance. Yeah.
Well, you were just saying just a couple minutes ago, we have to come to this place of repentance. We have to come to this. There's two levels. Coming to a place of change.
I never say we have any power other than God. I'll never say that. So don't say I said that. I'll never, ever say that we have power other than God.
But we do have power to change the way we're thinking. I can make a choice right now and change the way I'm thinking.
No, you're wrong. From him, through him, to him are all things. It comes from the Spirit. That's not you. It's your Spirit inside of you. It's the Spirit of God inside of you. It's not you. Spirit.
The one thing I'll say that leads to repentance first is when you bear fruit worthy of repentance. And bearing
that's the
fruit
key right there.
Is when you have humility, when you have brokenness.
That's where I think.
That leads into repentance.
That's the only way
I think, like what he's saying, knowledge drops or grace drops. Yeah. When that brokenness is there.
Correct.
That's the only way to get that grace.
Yeah. You know, why I'm making this an issue right now is because a lot of people understand in order to come to salvation, you have to repent. But as we know, repentance really comes through the power of God, through grace, allowing us to see, to cause us to repent. I'm just trying to open up a little bit of a door for some mercy out there, you see? Because, you know, not everybody has the ability to repent. And I believe the reason why they don't have the ability to repent is because their hearts aren't broken enough to receive that supernatural power of grace to get them to see why to repent.
It's like he said a long time ago, pride.
Yeah.
Pride is blocking because you feel like you deserve.
Right.
I feel like I should have. I was screwed. They screwed me. That's what they think.
See, I feel that God is leading our hearts, you know, to those who are called, leading our hearts to that end point where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yet still be empowered to move forward and do what needs to be done, but not to have anger or bitterness or hatred towards yourself or others.
Well, you have to say that in peace.
Because there's going to be times where, you know, this abuse, you know, the hardship, the circumstances of life burdens us. You know, people come to a point where they just hate life. We can say, Father, forgive life, for they know what they do, you know?
Yeah.
And be able to have more of a heart of compassion for those, for yourself and others. That's my point. So that we can maybe have more mercy on ourselves, because we all fall short of his glory. We all fall short, and we're all going to do things that may not be pleasing in other people's eyes.
Right.
You see, and there's circumstances that are happening in people's families. Like, I know families that are just out of the ordinary. You follow what I'm saying? families, and you might have to do something to straighten out your household. And we might be sitting there for years letting those circumstances continue. And then one day, you're empowered by that broken, contrite heart. Supernaturally, God pours the grace. I mean, look at your circumstance just recently, John.
Which one?
I'm not going to bring up anything personal, but you know you had a circumstance that came up in your life, and you've been dealing with a lot for a while, and now your heart is broken to the point where this supernatural grace is coming over on you and setting you free and having that sense of, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then you have this choice of repentance of how you're going to handle the situation moving forward. To bring you to salvation.
But I'm going to say this. The forgive them, Father, is really for you, because it ain't for them.
Oh, I agree.
It's 100% for you. It's for you to change the way you're thinking about holding them guilty.
So you don't hold the fence.
Because we don't know if Jesus had forgiven them, if God forgave them or not. We don't know.
No.
We don't know.
No, no.
So it was for him. Yeah, it was for him.
He spoke that over that text.
It was for him to release it in himself.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about something that's really, really hard to do. I mean, let's be real.
It is.
It is really
if you don't operate in the supernatural.
Correct. That's correct. In the flesh, it's hard, and the spirit is not.
In the flesh, you can't do it.
Soul won't let you forgive. The spirit is making you forgive.
Yep.
That's the fight you have right now.
Yeah. That's why I believe 2018 is very important to understand the supernatural, so that we can come to that broken place and come to that knowledge of grace to empower us to make the choices that we have to make choice.
Right.
And then when we make those choices, we can have that compassionate heart saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, so that we don't feel guilty about what we've done.
Correct. Or what we have to do.
Well,
exactly right. Because
that
you're...
That never crossed my mind. Guilt just doesn't exist in my life.
Because you're operating under the supernatural and don't even know it. See, I think most people...
I don't know if I know it or not.
Well, John, if you were in the soul right now with that issue, you'd be offended big time.
Yeah, it only happens when you have a broken, contrite heart.
Well, I do, it only happens. I do think about blame and all that, but then it's kind of passing, you know? I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel guilty about anything. I really don't.
You're blessed.
Yeah.
You're blessed because when you make decisions based on operating in freedom, peace, joy, like his friend that went through so much and then he said, I had enough. I'm sure he had the naysayers. I'm sure there were some people that were like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Because you're going to have a lot of people that are going to come against you and say, why are you doing this?
Right.
You see?
Yeah.
I think
that happens.
I think this is the year that God is just going to be dropping grace.
Well, he ain't wasting any time.
Because he hears the hearts. I think not only are we learning and operating under the supernatural, but I think God's also hearing the hearts. It's almost like the year of Jubilee. You know, Jubilee is a year of forgiveness.
Well, it literally is. You're absolutely right on hearing the heart.
He's a discerner of the hearts and thoughts and intents of the heart.
Right.
Yeah.
He goes to and forth throughout the earth looking for that broken and contrite heart. That's where he's drawn to, is the brokenness. That's why these trials and these tribulations come on people, is so that they have brokenness.
God
so that he can have a relationship with them. If there's no brokenness, he's opposed to it.
Exactly
he'll,
right.
He'll never
because
come.
That's
he'll
just
never
pride, come. Right?
Look,
it's
just
the pride.
Exactly. Yeah, but God knows exactly what will break your heart.
But his whole goal is to build a character.
Right.
Well, to
his
for you
character.
To know him.
Yeah, yeah. But in yeah, and then build a, and then have a character of Christ built in you.
Yeah.
So it's no longer you that live, but Christ that lives in you. So you're born again. The Bible and the scriptures it talks about that in John 3. What being born again is, talks about having to need the spirit and being born of the water, the flesh, both. And people don't emphasize the spirit part. They don't even talk about what the difference between the flesh and the spirit is. That's the big difference. between the spirit and the flesh, the thinking of both sides, how this side thinks. That's what we do in this church.
Well, that's why I think 2018 is the year of the beginning of being poured out his spirit.
Correct.
He says he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh.
Which means grace, which means we're going to have the grace to pour out the truth about the spirit.
Yeah, because grace operates the supernatural, and we'll have the knowledge of the supernatural. Let us all answer this one. What is the kingdom of God?
Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Righteousness, peace, and joy.
Not your righteousness.
Isn't it? Right. And God wants to create a dwelling place. Okay? A dwelling place in the kingdom of God.
Correct.
So the dwelling place has to be connected with righteousness, peace, and joy. And so I believe supernaturally, through the cry of the hearts of his people, he's creating an atmosphere where you make choices, and he's going to empower us with this grace to make choices to operate in righteousness, peace, and joy. That's why I believe he's going to soften our hearts to be able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So now we're operating in righteousness.
That's where you have to be. That's the beginning right there. When you're there, it's over.
Yep.
Because no one else exists in this world but you and God.
Exactly.
And that's
right.
Where it's got to be. No, not my wife, not my kids, not nobody but me and God. And that's how you got to live. If you live like that, you're golden. If you don't, then everybody else exists, and they can pull your peace, they can pull your joy, because they exist.
Yep.
It's not good.
And because God wants to dwell with his chosen people, you know, all are called, but only a few are chosen. So there are only so many chosen people out there, and you're a chosen child. And so don't be surprised if you're empowered by this grace to make a decision and put your foot down and and say, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do, and do what you have to do to operate in the kingdom of God.
Peace, because joy, and righteousness.
Because he wants you to be dwelling in the kingdom of God in order for him to make a habitation with us.
Yeah, because you know who creates the other side? Fear, worry, and anxiety, you allow it by choices you make. It's like just choices you make.
The powers and the principalities that are operating with the soul.
Yep.
And to know him, to know God, you know, that's where that brokenness comes in at, because he hears the hearts of our cry. When you know the truth, you begin to cry out for the truth.
That's right.
And then the truth begins to set you free.
You don't. That's exactly right. You don't. And when you cry out, there is no avenue. It's just, I want truth.
Yep.
You don't have an agenda. I just want this end to end. I want truth.
You want truth.
Pure truth.
Now, knowing that you said that, there are those out there listening, and maybe even here today, subconsciously, they're crying out, but they don't know mentally.
Correct.
And their heart's saying one thing, but their mind can't comprehend it.
Yep.
And then when all of a sudden circumstances arise.
Exactly what you asked for, you got.
It is what you asked for in the spirit.
Oh my God.
That's why we can't panic and realize that God works things out to those who love him, and let things just ride itself and watch it all come to tuition, because at the end, that's what you wanted.
It's what we always said from the beginning. Everything that happens in your life is exactly the way it's supposed to happen in your life, and there can be no other avenues. This is the way it is, and this is the way we have to accept it and live it out. There's no choices here.
When you operate or seek for God.
Yes.
Because then you got the powers and the principalities and your soul, the wickedness of the soul that diverts your path to cause you to do the things that you don't want to do, to lead you to destruction.
That's how you got the circumstance you're in the first place. That's how you got there.
Yeah.
So now it's time to change that and move out of that and go into the spirit now. Because what you did in the beginning, you just said, is we'll put you in the place in the first place. Listen to the soul, following the soul, feed your soul, put you in the circumstance that had God say, okay, not the circumstance come in your life to change the way you're thinking.
Right.
And repentance to transform you.
And a true seeker of God will seek for truth, even subconsciously.
Yep.
Because there's a groaning and a murmuring, a groaning that is operating inside of us subconsciously that brings us that broken, contrite heart that allows grace to wash over us and give us the knowledge to see. where if you're not a seeker of God, the soul and the wickedness and the principalities and the powers operate to deceive
correct
the individual, and they go down a bad path.
Justifies you blaming everything else.
Yeah.
Justifies you blaming them and not looking at you.
And they just go down a bad path.
You know, Shelley, when she just talked about showing her friend the message here, mm-hmm. and the friend said, that's why your church is small, because it makes you look at yourself. Mm-hmm. It makes you reflect within. That's the name of our church. Our church is making you look within yourself and see how you're wired wrong, how you're thinking wrong. Not anybody else's fault, but yours. And it makes it an inner personal relationship with you and God. It makes it an inner internal relationship. And that's what
right.
we create here. It's
right.
different.
Right. Not externally.
Than, yeah, exactly right. There's no power. The only power is internal. Looking within, changing the way you think.
Right. So moving forward, you know, if anyone's out there that's listening or what have you, who's going through a hardship that you feel like you're just whining and complaining, you're not whining and complaining, especially when everybody else is around you is like, what's wrong with you? The ones that are saying, what's wrong with you, more than likely are operating in the wickedness,
yep.
along with the principalities and the powers, and they're not at the broken, contrite heart place.
It's like you always say, the souls have friends.
Yeah.
Souls and souls talk to each other.
Yep. And the one that feels drained, feels like they're whining and no one's listening, and complaining and no one's hearing, is because subconsciously, God is bringing you deliverance. He's bringing you grace and deliverance and power to change the circumstances. I know it. It's coming. It's just a matter of when. We stand up and you know, bring those things into existence. You know, if I could start prophesying in people's lives, I would, you know, right now, because I see too many things going on. But, you know, I believe in 2018, it's like I'm pouring out my spirit upon all flesh. And the church has an image of when God pours out his spirit as some glorious,
correct,
wonderful thing.
Yeah.
But the reality is it's the complete opposite.
It's the opposite.
It's like fire.
It's a cleansing. It's a cleansing. That's why John said this. I baptize with water, but there's one coming after me who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yep. And it's going to cause the ones who are called a groaning that
within
creates an utterance that we don't understand. And I truly believe it's that groaning that's inside of all those who are being called that causes us to seek truth.
Yes.
Because we're trying to reach for peace and joy.
100% truth right there. 100%
yeah.
truth.
And peace and joy is your strength.
That's right.
And the reason why so many people are so tired out there
is
because they don't have peace and joy.
None of it.
But they're seeking for peace and they're seeking for strength, and they don't know what the strength is.
Correct.
But God hears their cry. And that's why there's a groaning inside of them.
Yep.
So if you're out there listening and you got a groaning that's inside of you that you don't know what it is.
Hold on.
Yeah, hold on to it. Because really it's the Spirit making intercession for you. And God understands that language, and he's bringing what needs to be brought, whether it's resources or other people in your life or just a boldness to make the moves. I hope we got ears to hear what is being said here tonight, because I truly believe this is the year of Jubilee.
This is the year of the Spirit.
Yeah, this is the year
of the
Spirit.
Because I was in John 3:16. I brought it up with him just now. I had it in here just now. I was listening all day long today about the Spirit, about how important it is to say it, because that's where it began.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be born of Spirit. What does that mean? We have to break it down again and go over it. It's vital.
Mm-hmm.
It's vital. I think you're right on the money.
Now, groanings start like this.
Yep, getting frustrated. Had enough.
Yep.
Yep.
It's the beginning of being frustrated.
You got a situation that you're frustrated with. That's groaning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how long does it take for that intercession to go? Might take 2 years. I've seen 10, 12 years.
That's also
great. You see what I'm saying? Yep. But how do you know that God orchestrates all these to one big outpouring?
But now the miracle is this. You can go through the time of waiting in peace and joy. You can. If it's like you said in the message earlier when you said this, you have to believe there's something better coming. You have believe
that in itself. Yes.
You have to believe there's something around the corner coming better than what you have, or whether you lost or what you're losing.
That's what the church tried to get people to believe, but they lost power in it because people waited for a very long time and lost hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the people were waiting. Were they? Was there repentance? Was there
self-control? They took it. They took it to this point. Well, when I leave this body.
Exactly.
When I die.
Yeah, I'll get it
then. Then I'm going to go.
All my problems will be over.
Streets of gold.
Yeah.
They weren't giving them hope for now.
Right.
Then what happens is they short circuit and thinking, well, it's so bad right now. And I know when I die, they believe that lie, that my problems are going to be over when I die. And then they short circuit and end their life.
Yep.
Thinking that it's all going to be over. Because they're in such despair, and they have this belief that when they die, it's all over. It's just the beginning.
That's why it would be nice for our listeners and all of us here to understand that if we can know the supernatural is always opposite of what the natural comprehends. For example, groanings, frustration.
Selfishness versus selflessness.
Right.
Pride versus humility.
Right.
All those things. It's exactly right. It's what creates the flesh or the spirit.
Yeah. So if you have this frustration in you or this groaning in you, don't look at it as a bad thing. Look at it, because right away you want to think if it's a bad thing. But look at it as it's a good thing, because the spirit within you is making intercession for God and his power to change the future to better, to make you better.
Yes.
To make your circumstances better, because you're searching for peace. You're frustrated because you don't have peace.
That's right.
You see? So obviously, subconsciously, you're searching for the kingdom of God. You're searching for the kingdom of God. And His mechanics, he created us this way, not knowing because we're carnal, but because we know spiritually, it's an exciting thing to have this feeling, I guess, knowing that soon and very soon, God's going to answer our prayers. You see?
That's hope. Hope is a substance.
Yep. Hope is a substance.
Faith is a substance of things hoped for.
Knowing this mystery has just produced true hope.
Yeah.
True hope, because you're now beginning to get excited.
Hope's doing its job.
Exactly right. That your groanings are not going in vain.
Exactly.
And that your frustrations aren't in vain. It's just a matter of time. And if we could be patient and not be anxious for anything, but just wait.
But that's the key. Because when you lose that groaning and accept where you're at,
mm-hmm.
knowing that something's coming,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to put that on the back burner, that's when his blessings do come.
Yeah, because the groanings. Yeah.
You're not taking that groan and just saying,
well, you don't.
I want it now.
You don't act in the flesh
right.
and take things out on your own Because when you do things on your own, that's where you're not covered by grace, and now you're operating guilt and shame.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you got to come to a place of peace within you.
That's right.
With the circumstances where you're at, so God can move.
Yes. The groanings lead you to that place.
Yes, I agree.
And then when you get to that place where you lose that groaning of you know, like you were saying, frustration.
God washes you with it.
Exactly, but you go from frustration to hope.
Yeah.
And that's when the groanings did their job, and then you have hope working for you. The groanings work first, then it becomes hope, then or faith, and faith becomes hope. Hope works for you. Hope works. And hope is what brings it down, as you keep hoping, as you keep that faith.
And this is why we need to tell our listeners that when you have that feeling, understand what is going on so that they don't get discouraged.
Condemn themselves.
Right.
Or give up.
Or take matters in their own hands,
yep,
and go before the Lord.
Yeah. But that's where you said you have to come into rest. You
know? Yeah.
You have to settle yourself.
Wait on the Lord.
Wait on God.
Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will be mounted up with wings like an eagle.
They will run and not grow weary.
That's it.
Well, then you have to interject. When you're weak, he is strong. A lot of times he breaks you down to the point where you're so weak, and you realize, you have realization that, you know what, Lord, I can't do anything about this. This all has to be you.
Yep.
And don't lose hope.
No, not at all.
Knowing this truth.
Like Kurt said, you have a peace within you. Say, you know what? I have to put this in your hands completely. This is yours. I'm going to sit here, and if you feel like you want to move me, you'll let me know.
And, and you can only be empowered and do those types of scenarios. Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm putting this in your hand. Is by knowing this truth.
That's right.
Amen. Because if not,
you can't
say,
yeah,
God's going to bring it.
It'll be all
God's
words.
Going to bring it,
it'll
and you'll
be
just
words.
Be sitting on your butt,
yep,
and you won't do nothing.
Or how about this?
Yep.
You'll say you give it to God, but you don't. You're still holding fear. You're still holding worry. You're still holding anxiety. I gave it to God. No, you didn't. You're still holding anger, bitterness. You're still holding it. You didn't give anything to God.
Yep, there's no mercy.
That's right. You didn't give God anything.
I said, yeah. Very,
but, and
then, very.
And if you become lazy,
no,
that, that's
not
depression.
That's the soul telling you that. It's not
alcoholism, drug addiction.
No. It can be very difficult. It's a practical thing every day.
It's nasty.
You know, the other thing, too, is like when you're hitting those walls,
they try to pull you down.
Don't get frustrated and start blaming yourself.
You're saying
you more.
The soul says you can't listen to that.
You just got
to
say, okay, God.
I hear you.
Shut it up.
I hear you.
I'm just going to give it to you.
Hold on, my God.
It's going to be good.
No.
I'm just going to give you this situation, and I'm going to rest in it. You know, we're talking about like when you're hitting those walls and you're trying to do everything you can and nothing's working. Don't fall into the trap of blaming yourself,
yep,
thinking that you can do more or less, or you know, don't take the blame and put condemnation on yourself. Just take a step back and say, okay, God, I see what your hand is.
Well, that's the
right
importance
now
of letting,
yeah,
God move,
yeah, yeah,
before you.
Correct.
See, if you go before God, then that's where the guilt and shame comes in at. Like, there, I'm sure there are circumstances.
Unless you're mature. Unless you're mature.
I don't know. I think it's all supernatural and grace.
You spoke about this a long time ago when you said this. You got to watch your life.
You got to watch your
that's
life.
That's the key. If you, yep, can watch your life, you're not overtaken. You can still step back. And you can move left if you have. You can move right. You're not stuck. You're not stuck in the pattern. You're watching. You're standing back. You can separate yourself from the circumstance and watch it. Mm-hmm. If you're watching a movie, it can't hurt you.
Right.
If you're in a movie, you're dead. If you're watching a movie, you're watching the screen.
You know,
but if
what,
you're in the movie,
you know
it's
what
different.
What it tells me all the time? Look how I've done for you. Look how I've shown myself to you,
yep,
over the years. I just picked the last 10 years. Look all I've done for you.
Yep.
Do you think I'm going to let you fall?
Mm-mm.
Do you think I'm going to destroy you? And that's the right thing that you have to hold on to when there's other things that come in and say, you got to be scared. You got to be afraid. You
know? Well, you know, you're blessed because you can look at it that way.
Yep.
There are most people can't even look back and see those testimonies.
You have a grateful heart.
Yeah.
You have a grateful heart.
See, there's a lot of people out there that just can't see blessings in their life. They just can't see them. For some strange reason, they just can't see.
They feel like they deserve more.
Whether they're entitled or
that's what it is.
They just feel that. That they've just had a bad life,
yep,
and they can't shake it.
Yep.
And that misery just follows through with them, and that's just who they are. It's a lump of misery.
It's like you said Sunday when you were like, when something happens, you're like, what's next? Oh, another, no, oh, just another, you know, what's next? Another problem. That's how they think. They go through life. One problem happens. Oh, what's next? Oh, my God. Another, oh, I need this today. That's how they live. That's how they think.
See, there's a thing out there right now, and I heard this today, too, how people are born into things.
Yes.
Alcoholism is a disease. They were born in it.
No.
Yeah, that's sad.
And drug addiction, okay, which is a total lie.
Or they pull off the generational curses.
Yeah, like so we're here to tell you that's a bunch of garbage, because if you listen to what we're talking about here, and that's what we're saying, we're born, oh, I was always, my dad was a loser, so I'm a loser.
Yep.
See, these are curses, what we're talking about right now, where people can't find that place of being thankful and grateful and having that grateful heart, because they think they've been doomed since the womb.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
And we're here to tell you that's just a lie.
And
it's a bald-faced lie. Alcoholism,
yep.
It can be broken. You cry out to God, and that thing will let you go.
It's a lie that they believe is true.
Right? Yes.
Correct.
But they've never had
sad
any.
Thing,
but they've never had anybody ever tell them it's a lie.
And you know what? You might tell them it's a lie, but they still might not believe.
Yeah,
correct.
That's true.
Oh, there's a lot of that. You tell them it's a lie,
and
they don't want to believe it.
Or they'll believe it's a lie. They don't care. So oh, it's a lie. Okay. They don't care.
Now, hold on to that, okay? It goes right back to the supernatural, where the hearts aren't broken.
That's right.
Like Pastor Tim said, pride kept that lie empowered.
Yep.
You see, this is why people don't change.
It's called strongholds.
They can't change.
They have authority.
Because they got pride.
Mm-hmm.
And that pride is not breaking them enough.
And they don't even know they have it.
And they have to be broken in order for them to change.
They just don't care.
It's almost like, how do you save somebody's soul? You see what I'm saying? They have to be broken. If pride is still alive, that person
Spirit
will not be saved.
Yes.
Because that intercession will never go into the heavenlies to open up their minds with grace to show them that the whole time was a lie.
Yep.
You see?
But I just do believe that there's people out there that have been beaten down their whole lives, and they've been lied to their whole lives. And
but still not broken.
But they've never known not to be. They don't know this. They were never told.
What he's saying is they have a chip on their shoulder.
That's not everybody, though.
Well, I know, but
that's
a
not
lot
everybody.
Of them have, you know.
Well, I believe that there's a lot that haven't heard this.
Yes.
And I hope and pray that they're listening now.
And I believe that there's ones in churches
that
have never heard this.
Yeah.
No,
that's what I'm talking about.
Every church never
heard this.
That's
what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's where a mercy and a compassion has to come through.
Yeah.
And we have to understand this, that it's not... it's just all pride. Yeah, it's pride, but I believe people will let that pride go if they knew this truth. If they know that it could change their circumstances, it could change their life, it could change everything, their relationships, everything that they know, if they could know this truth and it would change, I know that there's some, even if it's one, right? You left the 99 for one.
I agree.
Just to go out there and find that. And
that's why we're here tonight.
Yeah. Amen.
Forgive them, Father,
hoping.
They know not what they do. You know?
Yep. That's why we're here tonight, hoping that there'll be those listening.
That's the point I was just trying to make.
Yeah. But,
you're right.
You know, I have known people and know of people that they just
don't
choose.
Care.
Yeah, they just don't care.
They don't care.
They gave up.
They just
quit.
They quit.
And I know the root.
They've accepted it. Yes.
I know the root. Pride.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They
pride
cannot.
Pride is the root.
Because then they give me these. They give these answers like, "Well, it is what it is. This is who I am."
Yep.
It just goes on and on and on with all these excuses, and it's like, how come there's no fruits worthy of repentance?
Excuses like that. Oh, well, you're a
leader.
So
you know a bunch of them, too.
You're a leader, that's why you do that. You're Polish,
yeah.
You're Welsh, that's why you
ones.
Do that.
If I don't do it, it's never going to get done.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Even when they won't cry out for help, because that's humility. They say, if I don't do it, it'll never get done.
Yep.
And they can't let go.
Yeah.
And God's sitting there just saying, just let go, and I'll help you. but they can't let go.
So we ran out of time, unfortunately. Yeah,
West Side. Yeah. It's too fast.
It's too fast. We ran out of time. We'll pick up again hopefully next Wednesday. But please keep logging on. Please keep listening, because you never know where this round table is going to go.
Some fire flicking in this place, boy. Sparks.
And I believe 2018 is definitely an outpouring of the Spirit.
Called the Year of the Spirit.
Yep, the Year of the Spirit.
And I feel privileged to be invited to this day.
And John, we feel very blessed to have you here joining us too. You know, it's always good to have another voice to what is being said, just to, you know, let our listeners hear, you know, one Waters, one, you know,
plants,
and then God gives the increase. So, well, with that all being said, God bless.
It's over. Amen. Amen.